Good morning, Pat.
How are you this fine morning?
Yes, it's warm. Just kind of but I'm really good. Yeah, I'm really, really good. It's it's long weekend, so enjoying that. You're gonna have the extra day, so gonna go watch some horses run around a track with some kind of family down here at the local kind of picnic races, which is a beautiful kind of Australian kind of I guess
Dying
fall
tradition.
tradition. Kind of not autumn, but kind of it's not spring racing carnival, but it's kind of the kind of just a bit of a laugh, really. So I'm really looking forward to kind of getting the picnic blankets out and just having a bit of a laugh with family friends today. And what about yourself?
That's nice, mate. I'm looking forward to hearing how you feel coming back from that. The glitz and the glamour of the peninsula never strikes me as something that you really love, but it sounds like you're trying your best
Yeah,
to
this
paint a
is
pretty
Balnarring,
picture for
though. So
yourself.
Balnarring picnic races are different from Portsea Polo, let's put it that way.
Yeah, they're slowly getting closer together.
Zing. Yeah, subtle little dig there from Patrick.
No, we've spoken about this off air for sure. Just spitting truths.
Yeah.
And also, you've been digging gravel, so you've
I've
got a
been
heat
digging
pack
gravel.
as we speak, on
I
the back,
do, I do. Yeah,
which
gravel
says a
is
lot
absolutely
because
up my
we said
list.
we can't speak to the weather, but it's going to be 40 degrees today, so to have a heat pack on the back is something at the moment.
Well, yesterday was the like heat's really interesting, like as someone who didn't grow up in Australia, obviously by the accent, but kind of acclimatizing to heat and kind of what it actually does to you. Like you do really learn that the truth of it is quite simple, which is just about if you're going to be out in the heat, it's really about how you find shade as you do that, how you actually kind of cover yourself so your body's not copping the full kind of whack of the sun, and how you stay hydrated. So certainly, I've had experiences where I haven't stayed hydrated and that's been horrendous. But then I've like yesterday, I've worked most of the day out in the heat, but I drank water like it was going out of style. And other than just general gravel soreness, I've pulled up all right.
Good man, good man. I remember cutting wood with you one year, and geez, we got hot that day.
Oh yeah, that was yeah, I remember that too. Yeah, the next day was brutal, hey. Like I felt so dehydrated.
Yeah,
Yeah, yeah.
it caught us off guard. So it sounds like
Yeah.
you've upskilled in the know-how of how to get away with stuff like that in the heat. So it's good to
Yeah,
have some.
a little, but it is hit and miss. Like I think it is like if you don't like keep drinking water as like like every 10 minutes, it's a struggle for sure. That's my kind of breakthrough, I think, is like I've got to drink way more water than I think I would ever possibly need to drink.
Yeah, you rinse yourself and it takes a while to get back. But nice. I'm glad you're relaxing on a nice rug in Balnarring today. This side, we're just running pretty smooth lines today. Yesterday I was just with the fam, went for a jog, which was good, out early. Birds waking up, so it was nice. And then yeah, the kids run me
And you're
ragged.
progressing through your K's, hey, like you're like the whippet that you are, you're adding them as you go. So you're kind of your standard training runs now up around what, like 15 to 20.
Yep. So this week was because I hurt my back a while ago, and this week was like because of the race coming up, I was like, I need to at least hit 60 Ks for the week. Hopefully 70. So if I get a jog in tonight, but we'll see how we go. But 60, I think it's 64 at the moment for the week, which is good. So that's the first time I've ever gotten anywhere near that.
That's awesome.
So that feels great. And then we'll
And
keep.
it's like so hilly at your place. Like, I mean, really, you probably run 100 Ks because it's just you've got some serious gradients out there in Gippsland, all the little hills and valleys.
Yeah, like really lucky actually, because we're sort of right on the footsteps of the hills. So if I run north, I get hills. If I run south and on the trail, it's really flat. And for the race that we're prepping for is in the Prom. So for those of you who don't know the Prom, it's a little outcrop that's, very hilly. And so I'm trying to condition the body to be quite hilly. And I used to run around Warrandyte, which is really hilly. So
Definitely.
just getting used to that. The body's trying to catch up to the mind, and then the mind tries to catch up to the body. So I've just been enjoying that little tussle that's been going on, and yeah, it's been rewarding. It was nice to do it with someone yesterday and get to see. It's a good way to explore a place, that's for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
so yeah. Yeah, what do I say? It's like you can't have sex every day, but running definitely releases a few good healthy endorphins.
That's the first time I've heard that, but that is a good saying for sure. Yeah,
I reckon I've managed to convince a few people to run just by saying that. I've dropped that, and then I've noticed a few mates start running.
Running is good. Running is very, very good. Yeah.
But where are we going for the hot minute?
So hot minute, I wanted to talk about the decline of happiness. So yeah, I've been listening to a lot of stuff, particularly Adam Grant's work out of Harvard. So he was on Galloway's podcast this week. It's kind of like a recap of some of that. And it's what he speaks a lot about is kind of like how to actually kind of separate out unhappiness and happiness. And that there's, you know, in society at the moment, we're very, very confused between the two. So I think it's worth starting to talk about kind of, you know, how you mitigate against unhappiness, you know, kind of as a causality, but more importantly, how you actually find ways to craft your own happiness. And there's only really four ways to do that. So kind of focusing on kind of really bringing meaning into your life through family, through friends, through work, and actually continual progression of yourself. And I think as a society that's getting more and more in a digital era, used to being compared to everyone else, that's a kind of an amplifier effect. But it's also, you know, a lot of people spend a lot of time kind of, you know, not necessarily on track against those things and using kind of technology and ways to kind of actually divert their attention away from those kind of four key principles. So yeah, what I thought we'd talk about is kind of, ways to not be unhappy, but most importantly, kind of embracing ways to be happy.
Yeah, love that. And it does seem of the moment, sort of a COVID hangover, if you will. Maybe it was existing before there, but it's a lot more spoken about maybe now.
And COVID's a good, like, it's a good, sorry to jump in, like but it is a really good jump off point, right, to actually kind of understand, like, during COVID what occurred for a lot of people was kind of that they became socially isolated. So like their social isolation kind of cut off from family, spending, you know, they didn't yeah, there's lots of research that kind of, you know, just simple things about actually being in the company of other people, right? And kind of actually making eye contact with people, actually kind of, you know, being in their space. We're wired, our systems are actually wired in terms of that we actually get cortisol and kind of things actually in oxytocin, sorry, the kind of like a natural recurring thing that is, you know, actually lifts up. Yeah, true. That's very true. Some of the happiest people I know. Yeah, on pain relief. The thing that comes out of that is kind of like during COVID, people focused a lot on kind of mitigating their unhappiness. So things like kind of, you know, doing exercise, kind of getting into these routines around kind of, you know, 3-hour walks and kind of, you know, this sort of stuff, which became really, really important ways for them to mitigate against that. But then as we've now started to return more and more to normal, that becomes harder and harder to keep up, right? So it's kind of this balance between pushing away the negative stuff, but then also kind of how do you find ways to actually embrace positive things in your life?
Yeah, I love that framework. And to say something to that, I've been thinking around what happiness is and the pursuit of. And I feel like one thing that we do get wrong, and this was like came off the back of listening to Potty on the way into the city the other week, and that was like a neuroscientist who used to think, you know, the pursuit of happiness was everything, and like the whole framework was like, well, what's changed in your line of work that you've always thought about? And she's like, that the happiness isn't the end goal, like it's a byproduct of doing lots of other different things. And that comes into like what you're saying around finding meaning and being something, you know, to someone else, and those other sort of maybe little bits of challenges, how to overcome challenges. It isn't like I think it's I don't know if you've the same, but some concepts around like finding happiness or the pursuit of happiness is like you're trying to chase this like never-ending feeling of bliss, happiness that I just, it's never going to come. So that's when like your thoughts around saying, you know, finding meaning and finding like different ways to get little glimpse moments of that. It's like a byproduct of doing something that you really enjoy or being great to do.
Definitely. Definitely. And that's like part of like, I'm sure you get this with like running, you know, or kind of like certainly like surfing gives you this, but it's actually the sense like what Adam Grant talks about a lot in his work is about this, like he's a religious guy, like, so, and he's a practicing Catholic. And what he talks about is that it's not about actually being a person of faith. It's actually about understanding that there's, you know, at some level connecting to the fact there's something bigger, right? There's something bigger than you, and your kind of circumstances. And he talks a lot about moving from like a kind of, like a me, like a me world, like this is affecting me. This is, that's doing that to me. That's doing that to me, to much more of an I world where you see yourself as a person who has strengths, weaknesses, failings, all of that sort of stuff, but you see yourself in the context of the world. And he says, however you get there, that's what matters. Right. So it doesn't, like, I feel that through like things like surfing, right? Just the raw, literally the raw awe of actually what nature actually puts in front of you, and the, you know, the size of things, the kind of the scale, the power, all of that sort of stuff is like a true surrender. But you clearly get a sense that you don't matter, right? You literally, your circumstances, the me that's out there that was, you know, paddling out. And I think this is part of it. That's why I was just trying to relate it, is that that's part of, I think, what surfers get out of kind of surfing, is that it's about you're in this body of stuff that doesn't really care about you. And you go in there, you might go in there with a head full of worry, and then you walk out of it kind of this, like, oh, yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I reckon surfing does that so well, the humbling.
And running probably the same, hey? Like running probably does the same, where like you're
running, yeah,
further you go, yeah.
Yeah, you can get those mental breakthroughs. But running for me it processes my rubbish in a way. Like it strips back what really matters, and gives you great perspective. Like I can leave the office with a million worries, concerns, this, that, and the other, stresses, frustrations, whatever's going on in the day, and go for a run. And it allows you to think long term. It allows you to think short. It allows you to think nothing. It just strips it all back, I think. And yeah, it's,
sure,
we just, being so sedentary now, I know I stew a lot. So when talking about happiness and all of this and how to get out of that and finding meaning, it's like how to get out of your own stew sometimes is like, that's often my mission, is if I'm getting in those places, is how to get out of the stew. Because you can, I don't know, if you're the same, trying to keep it pretty personal here because it's easy to point fingers, but like when I'm feeling unhappy or unmotivated or whatever, or something, or if I'm like, why me, it's often, I've noticed myself, it's almost like I'm sitting on or wallowing on a sofa of like, just, yeah, it's sort of quite luxurious to do in a way. I don't know if that's the right mentality. Like it sounds, as I say that out loud, it sounds a bit harsh, but I don't know, that's where my perspective's come from. Because then when I do go for a run, I'm like, oh, you just needed to move. You just needed to do a few different things than what you were doing at that time. And a lot of that comes from, I don't know if you're the same, but like learning that I've given myself a ridiculously hard time.
Yeah,
and sometimes for sure. that can be great, but a lot of times it's not helpful at all.
No. Like I think having like goals and having a thing and kind of understanding that like you want to be something to like friends, you want to actually make something for your family, you want to be able to be part of kind of, you know, making like find meaning in work and kind of doing good stuff, all those things, those are important. But that said, is that it's, you know, it's kind of not to the point where it becomes kind of completely overwhelming, right? And demotivating. I think so much of, you know, exactly what you're talking about is that wallowing in things just really doesn't change stuff, but it is part of a process. And I think, you know, what I really try to focus on is that, am I actually wallowing in something? And what is what is one thing I can do, right? What is one thing I can actually do just to move myself slightly forward? Now that can be, you know, if I'm having a terrible time at work and I'm not really getting anything anywhere with my projects, I'm not feeling it, you know, I'm not kind of, stuff's not coming to me, then I might like iron my shirts for the week ahead, right? It's not that I want to be ironing my shirts or anything like that, or that I take particular joy out of it, but it's just, it's one thing that I can do at that particular point in time, or kind of, you know, walk the dog, do a chore that I've been putting off, or just move, like do something else, call someone, like just do something that kind of actually gets me out of being stuck and turning in on myself, right? And I think that that to me is part of like managing towards happiness, not kind of allowing yourself to get stuck in unhappiness, and kind of how you just get yourself out of that. I think, you know, managing unhappiness is something I think particularly in the West we've become less and less good at because of the digitization of our world, right? And we all, you know, you only have to look at our, you know, our wider society to think like everyone's pissed off about everything. And that's, you know, we're pretty blessed really when you kind of look at stuff. But I think at an individual level, it's, I can sense that myself, right? It's like having perspective and finding it somehow is really, really important, because yes, life is hard, but it's hard for everyone. And you know, it's yeah, like again, I kind of like some of this stuff is like nature doesn't owe us happiness, right? That's one of the interesting things, like that again, Adam kind of speaks about really, really well, is that nature only wants us to basically procreate and basically mutate, right? That's actually what it wants us to do. It doesn't want us to become homogeneous, and it wants us to keep basically being in nature, being part of its ecosystem. But then at a human level, it's how do we actually find connection? How do we actually kind of, you know, manifest happiness? But unhappiness and happiness are two very, very different things. And that's, you know, kind of the big take out I took out of, you know, like I've been listening to his stuff for a while, you know, but I thought, yeah, kind of like now's the time to start to have a bit of a chat about it.
Yeah. And then I think the key ingredient is there's like, regardless in life, there's challenges, it's how you view them. And I think that piece around digital is a bit dangerous, because it's easy to constantly kick the can down the road of your challenges, whatever they are, personal, professional, marriage, kids, yeah, friends, is to ignore the challenges and get distracted by something else. And at the moment it's like a fingertip approach. Like you can get distracted by global issues that are horrifying. You get distracted, yeah, by people moving their bodies in weird ways. Like there's the design for you to stay on the screen. It's an absolute minefield in terms of that. And I know personally when I'm feeling that, the screen is so tempting to stay there, to just, it's essentially, yeah, numbing that ability, but it amplifies it so much more.
Yeah. And like there's a real affect with technology, right? So like, I mean, this has all been done intentionally. I mean, so much of kind of like how like interfaces have been built, when you read back through, you know, like a lot of the literature in the 70s, et cetera, around kind of, you know, how to build like an interface like what we have today, like the academic stuff for all of that was ultimately about that it has to be connective and immersive, and that the kind of the human brain, we respond to our environment constantly changing. So it's like you're constantly like living in like a little dopamine lab, right? It's that when you're doom scrolling in, you know, Instagram or TikTok or whatever, or kind of, you know, watching endless commentary on like Oilers non-trades, like I find myself doing sometimes when I'm not in the greatest of spots, is that it's all there for you. So it's just like it constantly, and the technology now, it just loads it for you. So there's not even a latent effect where you need to put in effort. So like the dopamine, it just sits you there, and it's just like, and it's very, as you said, it's numbing. It's actually numbing. It doesn't, but you're still ruminating in the background. You're still thinking about what you're thinking about. So I think it's how you want to use that, and how do you want to attach that to motion, or do you want to sit and kind of use your thumb and scroll through stuff while you think about the things that you're thinking about, yeah, is I think one of the key things about combating unhappiness, not about making yourself happy, but actually kind of going, you know what, like I need to think this through. I'm going to go for a 15K run like Patrick, right? Or I'm going to, you know, walk, like, yeah, you know, like I do it a lot with our dog. I'll, you know, if I'm really thinking through stuff, I don't even like kind of know even how far I've walked, like up the track here, until I'm like, oh crap, right? And Koa's, you know, like dying down the bottom, panting like she's never panted before. Yeah. But that's healthy. It's healthy for her too, right? It's actually healthy for her. It's healthy for us both.
100%. And like, yeah, keeping on the personal whenever, because it's, I feel like it's healthy to try and speak to it like that, is as a parent running a business and like just running life, the worst, and like I noticed the worst time when I get on my phone, say if I've got work stress coming in, but I'm with the kids, and I pretend like I'll read emails or I pretend to try and work when I know I don't have any capacity to do that. That is when I start to just get completely fried. And I'm no good to no one. And so I think off the back of that is just learn, like I'll get so stressed for no reason that like it's not productive, but for some reason in my mind, I know it's like, it makes me feel like I'm doing something about it. It's sort of tricking you from being here now to feeling like you're doing something that you know you need to do, but it actually just confuses the whole situation and nothing good happens unless you just sit with that and work through that. But that's sort of the minefields where we are. We've got emails, different things coming in where you feel like you have to be here, there, but in the end you're nowhere, and that's the real trouble. And there is no real education around that. It's sort of trial and error, and I'm not saying my experiences are everyone's experiences. I'm sure everyone has their own sort of take on what makes them tick in a good way and what makes them tick in a bad way, but learning that, but we're not really that is through pure self-discovery. No one's really saying that this is what this does. There's no product warning. There's no app warning, like, which is maybe a good thing, but also maybe not. And it'll be interesting. And you do worry where kids are at with that, you know, because they're going through such big hormonal changes.
For sure.
And can just access some wild content pretty readily that, you know, whether you're ready or not to actually process that in a healthy way is very debatable.
And I think, like, I mean, that's like, I think one of the key parts of, you know, like, particularly, you know, for teens and kind of like, you know, men my age, is like, you know, they're the two most likely to actually kind of, you know, commit suicide or kind of have a correlation to that. And that they're probably quite different, right? You know, like men my age typically becomes, again, like this is not my work. This is work that kind of, you know, Harvard in their longitudinal studies have done, and Adam Grant speaks to, is that it's typically that it's loss of job, then loss of image of being the provider in the fam. And then it's about kind of, you know, partner leaves, right? So it's kind of those three things. But it's the way that it's actually handled, which is typically through self-medication, through alcohol, drugs, pornography, etc. So kind of that becomes the way that it's treated. Whereas at a younger age, is ultimately it's about comparison and self-worth, right? And I think in a younger cohort, it's the mirror has changed, right? The mirror has changed from your friendship group to kind of being the mirror of you and kind of your own capabilities, to now the mirror is the whole world, right? So even if you're the best athlete in the world, the most beautiful person in the world, the smartest person in the world, in the world of social media, there's always going to be someone who is better than you at some level of that, right? It's unless you become ultimately the most famous person. And it's become a very perverse game around
even kind of that, like, fame.
Yeah, I know. Even like, I can't imagine, like, I think it would be probably one of the worst existences. Like, I'm not famous, you know, I'm not famous, but I think, you know, it must be like living.
Podcast has made you famous.
Yeah, it must be, maybe it's at a small scale, but like, yeah, maybe like, but even like our podcast, right? This thing here is in that, like, we're actually in the kind of the top 20th percentile. Like, people do actually listen to this, right? Most podcasts, no one listens. And
yeah, bless you, whoever's listening to us.
Thank you very much. It is appreciated. But when you scale it up, is that at the top end of all of that, there are certain people who just literally, that is, it's almost like they've become a thing, right? They've become a thing of themselves in this kind of social media influencer
age. A product. They've become a product.
A product. Yeah, and it's very it must be very strange. I mean, I don't know, but it must be very strange to think of yourself that way, almost thinking of yourself as a brand or as a caricature, if that's not really connected to what makes you happy, right? I think if it makes you happy, then I think it's probably really healthy and fine. But if it's actually that it doesn't make you happy, it's not connected to those things, I think it's probably going to end in ruin for a lot of these, yeah. A lot of these people who are influencers.
Well, give you meaning, I reckon, in there, that sort of sense of fulfillment, overcoming something and getting that happiness spilling out.
But the fulfillment goes to likes and followers and those, like, so it's more metric based. I think that's what I worry about with that sort of stuff, rather than kind of actually being in service of something bigger.
But that's right? What I mean, so, meaning, like, happiness could be likes as well, like, that's where it gets hard, because what is happiness? That's where I feel it's such a fleeting feeling.
But don't you think, though, that's not intrinsic, that's extrinsic, right? That's like someone saying, I'm going to be happy when I have like 50,000 likes, right? And kind of, or that video did really, really well or didn't do well, versus I think more intrinsic things are actually like finding meaning in the process, finding meaning in kind of, you know, being in the service of something bigger, right? Yeah. So like, that same instance, like if I did something as a podcast, like that really was intrinsic to me about spreading word around something, and then people start to like it, I think extrinsically, like that feels like a very strong kind of flywheel effect that is self-reinforcing and is going to make me more happy, versus trying to do something that I'm not particularly kind of, you know, intrinsically motivated about to get likes, right? Is that feels like that's going to send me down a rabbit hole of despair.
Yeah, but that tricky thing of, like, I think one, you can get happy in both, but one has that meaning tangent to it, I suppose, or more of a stronger chord of that. I don't know.
Even in this context, in our own context, like this, like doing this podcast makes me happy, right? Because we actually get to talk about stuff, like we get to work through it. It's kind of, it's part of our friendship. It's part of our relationship. And we talk about stuff and we kind of process things out together. But, you know, do I have it like an extrinsic goal? Like, I've got to commercialize this and I've got to make this thing a success. I have none, right? And because of that, I think it actually makes you happy to do it. It doesn't feel like you're doing it for any other reason other than we're just doing it because we like doing it.
Yeah, 100%, which is a luxury really, like to pair that back, which is great. But a lot of time,
like we work hard to find the time, like, you know, like we make time, we sacrifice. So I'm not sure it's a luxury. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe not. I don't know. I think some people wouldn't be able to do it. I don't know. Maybe skills as well. Who knows? But that's
true.
Yeah. Access to some of the tech, access to some of the stuff. But it's good. It's true. We do make the time and we do make a thought that goes into it and works within our lives, and it's awesome to have those things in life, because it's too often it's like, what is the, you know, the cash outcome or the success outcome? The metric is weird, and I think we were speaking to that last week, is around redesigning some of our metrics of measuring things, and I think that is maybe something here as well, measuring what happiness is and maybe the flavor of happiness is maybe where we're starting to get into the nitty gritty of that flavor.
100%.
Yeah, what makes you really happy?
Cool.
One thing that makes me really happy.
What's that?
Being deep in a pit.
That is, being covered. Yeah, being covered. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't been surfing for a long time, Joey.
You're getting the today. It's northerly. It is recognized. There might be a bit of swell around. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a friend chasing me
Bust a move for some coastal environments.
Yeah, it might have to happen. Put work to the side, but we'll see. But and you'll get to bust the move to some.
Yeah, you know what really makes me happy? Picnic races.
The smile that everyone can't see except me is beautiful.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. Especially when it's already 36 degrees. Yeah. It's going to be good out there.
It's not cold. So I hope you keep winning, mate. Not cold.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. There you have it. Let's hope you find that little miniature barrel. So somewhere down on the Gippsland coast.
Yeah. Yeah. Get me tucked in.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah. All right, Patrick. Well, till then, we'll chat. We'll chat more.
We'll chat then.